joined here on Radio Row by Mr. College Football. He is now part of the SEC Network family. Tony Barnhart, great to see you as always. Appreciate the time. It's been a little busy for you. We were totally unsolicited off air just seconds ago. You look down at the lobby where there's at least 100 Alabama fans packed in there, and you said, I love Alabama Day here at Media Days.
Because this is what it's all about, and the Alabama people are obviously waiting to see the players and to see the head coach, but they're always so nice to me. Every time I go to Tuscaloosa, I'm on remote. The people are great, and there was a bunch of them wanted to shake hands and stuff, and it's really cool. So, yeah, I enjoy it.
Tony, and just hit me. One of the reasons I think that's the case, it's a different position. I know where this guy was nationally, but you know what basically a love affair Alabama fans had with Keith Jackson.
Oh.
I think there is – I really do think there's a little bit of that with you because your style – you're not afraid to share your opinion, but it's even when it may be construed as negative towards Alabama, it's not done in an abrasive way. You're fair with it, and I mean that with the utmost respect. That I do think there's a little element of that. The guy that comes across as the Southern gentleman, and you've had a lot of good Bama stuff to report on,
right,
and cover the last few years. That helps matters.
Well,
too.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. I can only be who I am, and I'm a little country boy from Union Point, Georgia, population 1,500. I mean, I'm an old newspaper guy who's tried to do stuff in other mediums, and so I can only be who I am. If I tried to be somebody else, it would come across as phony, and it would be.
How much of an impact, if any, did Louis Grizzard have on you?
Oh, I think the two guys that influenced me, Louis Grizzard, I got a chance to know and work with late in his life, and he was a very special guy to me, and his ability to mix humor with really good reporting, and his love for SEC football, especially the Georgia Bulldogs, absolutely had an impact on me.
What would he say about this whole Media Days deal, and would he absolutely own it? By the way,
he would look out here and he'd say, you know, I've been to 18 county fairs and a calf roping, and I ain't never seen nothing like this.
And sadly, Tony, there's a lot of my audience right now that doesn't have a clue who we're talking about.
I know.
But would it be a fair, a lot of you, you won't go there, I'll say a lot of you, some of the, from the sports, a little Feinbaum, but Jeff Foxworthy long before there was Jeff Foxworthy.
That's good. That's a good analogy because he loved the game. He understood how important it was to the people in the SEC. He could write with incredible humor, and he could write with incredible biting criticism if you did something that he didn't like or didn't think was appropriate. But, yeah, he would be, if he came back, he would be so popular today in a culture that has become so politically correct.
Right.
There was nothing, there was not a politically correct bone in his body, and I think people would love him.
Talking with Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, joining us here on Tide 99.1. You just got through sitting down in a very small setting with, mm-hmm. with Nick Saban. I've met him before. He's not going to share a ton on a day like this, but he doesn't get credit for sharing as much as he does.
Well, obviously the theme at Alabama this year is reestablishing the identity of Alabama football. And one of the things I'm writing about tomorrow on AJC.com is that there are little things, and it's a little, it sounds like a little thing, but the last two national championships, the defense gave up 2.43 yards per carry. Last year, it was almost a yard more. He brought that up when I went to see him in the spring. Those are the kind of things that he wants to change. And he's talking about people buying in, not judging, not complaining, not second-guessing, buying in. And that's going to be the theme. And he hit that hard in our meeting. And he also hit hard the discipline issue in college athletics and how to deal with it. And it's all – I love to talk to Coach Saban about ball, and I like to talk to him about stuff that affects ball. And he's really good on subjects like that.
You knew him before he got to Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
You know him about as well as anybody in the business now. how different a guy is the one in Tuscaloosa from the one that was in East Lansing?
No, night and day. I mean, night and day. In East Lansing, he was so intense, so focused, sometimes the exclusion of stuff that he really should. And coming here, I think he would tell you early on he was that way. But there's no doubt in the last 4 to 5 years I've seen him, mellow is not the right word, but be more introspective and really think about things and want to, you know, do things differently. I don't think, and he told me this personally, there's no question that the tornado changed him. There's no getting it, because I've seen the change in him. He was very relaxed. He was very loose. Normally he'd get to this event and go, man, I got to really, but he was very relaxed and loose when we were with him. He's definitely changed, and I think he knows the change for him is for the better.
Life and death, though. The death, destruction of that tornado, but he's a granddad now. It's the first time he's ever come here in that
role. 22 months ago, I became a granddad.
Chris, yes, you did.
You and I were together the day that I became a granddad, and I didn't know it at the time. It is one of the few things in life that is absolutely not overrated. Being a grandparent, everything that everybody said about it is absolutely true, and I think I know Coach Saban well enough to know it absolutely changes you, and it makes you better.
When he came to Alabama, I talked to about 10 people. Half of them really liked him. Half of them couldn't stand him.
Mm-hmm.
And these 10 people that I talked to had all dealt with him either at LSU. I'm not talking about Joe Fan. I'm talking about people that worked with or dealt directly with him in some different roles in the SEC or at LSU. Half of them loved him. Half of them weren't fond. But it was amazing, Tony, how virtually everyone to a person ended each conversation with this phrase, but he will win because he is that good.
Right.
Has he done even more than you anticipated?
I think the short answer is no, because I remember the day. I mean, I thought he would win multiple national championships here. Now, the opportunity to win four in such a short, I didn't know that I saw that, because it's so hard to sustain it. But I will never forget New Year's Day 2007 when it looked like he was coming, and I was doing the CBS pregame show at the Gator Bowl with Tim Brando and Spencer Tilghman, and Tim Brando turned to me and said, "My goodness, they're going to pay Nick Saban $4 million a year." And I looked at him and I said, "Let me tell you what. I promise you, the day will come when Alabama realized they got a bargain." And that day came pretty quickly. And so I'm really not surprised at what he's done, because he walked in to Alabama at the perfect place, at the perfect time, at a place that loves it, and a place that will commit to it. And all he had to do was to put together the organization, recruit the players, and go out and play.
Do you buy the $100 million number in Texas?
To a certain extent, yeah, because everybody I talked to said the conversation will start at $10 million, and we'll see where it goes from there. And you know what? I heard that 3 years ago.
Sure.
That's always been out there. But I kept trying to tell people, Nick Saban is not going to Texas, because now that he's got the Alabama program up and running the way he wants to run it, and there's only one voice, and it's his, he is not going to march into a place where there's 8 million voices. He's not going to do it. It doesn't make any sense. And so I never thought he would go.
I didn't think he would either. As things were going, in my mind, and when I say going, I'm talking about as he's building this, I thought the only way it would change is, frankly, if Alabama messed it up. And by that, whenever that transition in both the president's office and in the athletic director's office, if the strategy, the belief, the philosophy changed, then I could see him going. But I don't know. I hope historically Robert Witt gets the credit that he is due.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we look back, and to be able to plug in Bill Battle for Mal Moore, Dr. Judy Bonner, for Dr. Witt himself in the president's office, to keep things there where he's comfortable, and then go, you know what, maybe it's time.
Yep. Yeah,
that's huge.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, Frank, and if you follow the headlines, you know that the political infighting at the University of Texas, from the president to the chancellor to the board of trustees on, is still ongoing. And that, if you're a guy like Nick Saban, you do not want to be in the middle of something like that. And most coaches tell me the reason they leave is because they have a change in the president or they have a change in the athletic director, and those people want to put their stamp on the program and start messing with what the head coach has done and stuff like that. And so the stability you talk about with Dr. Witt, that's really important.
Tony Barnhart, you want to be here on Tide 99.1 for just another moment or two. Our coverage brought to you by Cardiology Consultants. I asked you earlier about Nick Saban from East Lansing being different from the one today. My first media day is 25 years ago. The new first-year head coach of the Florida Gators, Steve Spurrier, actually spent 10 minutes talking to an intern from a TV station during a break when there was probably only 200-300 people that actually covered this event at that time. I contend that other than having a resume to back the confidence he came in with 25 years ago, he's basically the same guy.
Oh, he's completely the same guy. I've known Steve Spurrier since he was the offensive coordinator at Duke from 80 to 82. I was working in North Carolina at the time, and he's the same guy. He has absolute confidence in his ability. He knows what he wants to do. He doesn't mind gigging his opponents at the appropriate time, and he knows how to work smart and not necessarily work 800 hours a week. And so he's the same guy that I met back in 1980 when I was covering the Duke Blue Devils. And so, yeah, he's and listen, when he's in that room, this was his 22nd media days at the SEC. When he's in that room, it's standing room only, because he's going to say something that's compelling.
Can he get it one step further and do? He's already done what's never been done at South Carolina, but can he do what he did at Florida, and that's bring it all home?
Yeah, I think he's absolutely capable of winning an SEC championship there, because they recruited. He told when I went to see him in the spring, he told me something I didn't know. He said when he got to South Carolina 9 years ago, they had one booster, one, that had given $1 million. He said, now we got 17, 18. Okay.
And so that's big.
It's huge. It's huge. And when they got there, the facilities were among the worst in the SEC. Now they're among the best. And they've had pretty stable at athletic director. And so he feels really good about it. This is a year he can absolutely win the East. And if you get him in a one-game deal in the SEC championship, he can absolutely win the game. So he could do it this year.
All right. So we're going to see your work on the SEC Network website, secnetwork.com, a little writing for them, the TV gig. As best you know, because I've talked with you and a number of other friends that are involved in this entity, and some the role is not clearly defined just yet.
I got no idea. All I know is there are daily studio shows in Charlotte, SEC Now, which is the news hour, to catch up. There's SEC Nation on Saturday, our version of College Game Day. So basically what they told me is you're doing studio work and you're doing other kind of stuff. The radio component of the job is going to be interesting. Matter of fact, I haven't told anybody this. I'll tell you now on your show, because I got clearance. July 28 and 29, I'm subbing for Paul Feinbaum and the Paul Feinbaum Show. So I don't know that I'm going to get Paul's cast of characters to call in, but I hope they will.
You will be on this station then.
Excellent.
July 28th and 29th.
Yes.
Tony Barnhart, greatly appreciate the time. Always good to see you, and very happy for you and the opportunity with the network. And congratulations again on the grandbaby.
Thank you, my friend.
Things going well.
I appreciate it.
Tony Barnhart joining us here on Tide 99.1.